Thank you so much once again for joining us on this first Sunday of June. If you would join me in a brief word of prayer, we'll go ahead and proceed with our message from John 6 this morning. Our Father, we invite your presence here. We thank you for sustaining us and our community and our nation through a very challenging past week, as even Pastor Diane had alluded to just a few minutes ago. We ask that you would speak to us because more than anything else, we need to hear from you and your word, not just to motivate us, not only to challenge us, but to feed our souls with the living word. And so we invite your presence here in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. We are nearing the end of this late spring, early summer teaching series that we have titled Thriving Through Desperate Times. And we have looked at many different challenges that all of us are going through that often prevent us from thriving when times are very desperate. Today, I wanted to address the topic of debilitating negativity based upon John 6. I believe that though you may be able to navigate your way through some of the challenges that we have gone over previously, unless we can conquer a debilitating negativity in our lives, we will not be able to thrive, especially through desperate times. And so, as we reflect on this past several months, as we reflect on this past week, we have dealt with a trifecta of challenges and hurt and pain in the midst of COVID-19 and the pandemic that still we are battling, and in the midst of through the following economic recession, as so many people have lost their income and jobs, and in the midst of the social upheaval that we are going through, upheaval of injustice and in society, and so much hurt and pain as we have seen as we watch TV, and many of us who have personally participated in marches and have been rallying this cry of justice that is so desperately needed. I believe that David Murray captures this for us in this quote: "We live in an increasing negative culture, and it's easy to be dragged down with all the discouraging and depressing events that flood our hearts and overwhelm our minds. I believe Christians have a huge opportunity to be counter-cultural missionaries in this dark day by demonstrating the positive power of the gospel in their lives." I believe that as we think about the challenging times in which we are in, and we ask ourselves, how do we thrive through these desperate times? We are reminded, just as these early disciples who were following Jesus early on in his ministry experienced, that every challenge in our lives is an opportunity to allow the power of Jesus to break through. And we aren't just talking about times of prayer and we're about to take communion together, when you're reading the scriptures and very spiritual and religious pursuits, but every challenge in life, both great and small, is an opportunity for the power of Jesus to break through. This morning we have read John 6. In the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels, the feeding of 5,000. And once again, because of Jewish culture, 5,000 is a number of men. But if you add the women and children, we're talking about a massive crowd of maybe 20,000. 5,000 people. John would reflect back on what took place here in this incredible miracle that Jesus demonstrates, with this being one of the first, what we call, I am sayings, as Jesus reminds God's people and the world that indeed he is the Lord, using the same words that God used to describe himself in the book of Exodus to Moses. We look back in our passage that we just read, and in the midst of seeing a mass of 20,000 people who were hungry after hearing Jesus teach all day, and here in our passage, we see here, he asked this only to test him, for he already, Jesus, had in mind what he was going to do and said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Our passage says specifically that Jesus asked this in order to test his disciples. He did it purposefully. And I believe this is very significant because no matter what type of situation we find ourselves in our lives, Jesus cares how we respond to the challenges we are going through. And if there's any time that we are struggling with debilitating negativity, it's probably now, where everything from all your social media feeds to what you see on TV and on news seems to be nothing but problems and overwhelming pressures upon our society and our people. But how do we choose to respond to these challenges in these desperate times? As I look at our passage, I see several ways in which negativity can manifest in your life. Certainly, if there are, and there are many, many others, let me know. I would love to hear from you what you also would like to add to this list. But for the sake of time, let me just share three. First of all, one of the ways in which negativity can hold you back from thriving is summed up by the word impossibility. Look at Philip's response to the overwhelming challenge of the hunger of this mass of people. It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Many of us, as we think about the challenges we are facing in our lives, we'll respond, if I could sum it up, in a mantra. You look at a situation, and how do you respond? It's not possible. Philip doesn't even try. He looks at the resources that he has. He looks at the number, 20,000 or so mouths to feed. He doesn't make an effort even. Impossible. It can't be done. Even if I had half a year's wages, this is impossible. It will never work. It can't be done. It's ridiculous. Nothing will change. Some of you can identify with this spirit and heart of Brother Philip, the disciple. You manifest negativity by a spirit, an attitude of impossibility. You are a naysayer. Some of you indeed are people of impossibility. The theme of your life and the way your negativity manifests itself is it is not possible. Is this you? As you look out at all the things that are going on in your lives, your circumstances, your relationships, and in our society, amidst all the protesting, the pain, you look out, you may be a spiritual person, but you look out and you say, nothing is going to change. It's not possible. But if God be God, if the scriptures indeed are true, if Jesus, who he claims to be, is truly Lord of all, that we are reminded that indeed God is the God of both the impossible and the possible. Jeremiah 32:27 reminds us, behold, I am the Lord God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? Is this not the God that we claim to know and love and follow and worship? In the midst of your negativity of believing that nothing can change, your marriage can't change, the problems of race in our society cannot change, hear God's word and who he claims to be. Is anything too difficult for me? If the gospel is true, when the disciples saw this wealthy man who Jesus looked at, had compassion and challenged him to follow him, and he could not. And then the disciples cried out, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at his disciples. We remember these words from Matthew 19:26. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Negativity manifests itself in looking at the situations that are overwhelmingly challenging in our lives and not believing for even one second that things could change. You are a person who manifests your negativity in the theme of your life that is, it's not possible. But remember who God is. In the heart of the gospel, it indeed breaks through. It is possible. Change can happen in Christ. Secondly, another way in which negativity manifests itself is indifference. What's fascinating, because the feeding of 5,000 is found in all four Gospels, when we look at Mark chapter 6, in Mark's account, in Mark's Gospel, we have this extra tidbit of information. In verse 35, as it grew late, his disciples, Jesus' disciples, came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Talking to Jesus, they say, send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Here we have the disciples who I guarantee you were just as hungry, if not more hungry, than those that were listening to Jesus' teaching. So they're hearing their stomach grumbling and growling. They're dying for something to eat. They're hungry, more than even the crowds. They looked at the people and their needs. They didn't have compassion. They didn't have a sense of ownership. And they initiated, Lord, send them away so they can take care of themselves. They can buy themselves food in the surrounding villages. And Jesus says, no, you give them something to eat. The way in which indifference, which is another way negativity manifests itself, is summed up in this heart cry, it's not my problem. It's not my problem. I have enough to worry about. It's not my problem. We see this here in the heart of the disciples. They were hungry, and I think more than being concerned for the people in their midst, they wanted to also satiate their hunger because they were hungry. Send them away. Indifference. It's not my problem. That's the theme of many of your lives. Sure, you care for your own family, your children, and you should. You provide for them, you work hard. But when we look out in people that are very different looking than us, in different parts of society, in our cities, and we look and say, well, that's not really my issue, that's not my reality, it's not really my problem, that is not the right response to the people who belong to the kingdom of God. When we think about our neighbors, our friends, our community, our cities, and our nation, it is our problem. And those that live by, it's not my issue, it's not my problem, leave me alone, I'm happy, that kind of narrow, self-centered perspective is a form of negativity that will hold you back from truly thriving in desperate times. When we realize that we are part of the community of faith, the large church with our brothers and sisters bought by the same blood of Jesus, their concerns are our concerns. When our neighbors are struggling, when there's conflict at the home, trouble raising children, marriages falling apart, our hearts need to be burdened. It is our problem. That is the heart of the disciples of Christ. And as we have seen the events unfold all over this nation and protests taking place all over the world, let us not be dismissive. It is our issue. It is our problem. We are in it together. Matthew 18 reminds us in Jesus' own words, if a man had 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over more than over the 99 that never went away. What an opportunity to have a heart check and a gospel check in our lives. Is Jesus truly our King and Lord and Savior? Are we bothered? Are we burdened with what is taking place across our nation? One way in which negativity manifests itself is in indifference. It's not my problem. And that is not right. It is our problem. Thirdly and finally, as we look at our passage here, we see Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he actually did something. Here's a boy with five small barley loaves, which is the loaves of the common, the poor, two small fish, but how far will it go among so many? A third way in which negativity manifests itself in our lives is inadequacy. And for those of us who may look very positive on the outside, always smiling, cheerful, and yet deep down inside, your negativity is masked and hidden behind this fear, this paralyzing fear of inadequacy, and your mantra is, it's not enough. It's never enough. That is the theme of your life. Andrew did something. He found a boy with five loaves of bread and two fish. He looked at it and said, well, it's something, but it's not really enough. Inadequacy. We have heard this word, scarcity mindset, that often plagues God's people as well. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough resources. And how this manifests itself in a most destructive way is, not only do I not have enough, I am not enough. I will never measure up. And that kind of mindset will result in debilitating negativity. Whether it's inadequacy, whether it's indifference, whether it's impossibility, these three themes are antithetical to the gospel and to followers of King Jesus. In Christ, we have everything. We are loved with an everlasting love. Our eternity is secured. We have a new life in Him, a new calling, a new meaning, a new purpose. We are enough. We do measure up enough because of Jesus. And with the resources that we already have, we can turn around and serve our communities and meet the hungers that exist among people, especially in the events that are taking place these days. Jesus, more than anything else, was trying to show his disciples that he is enough. He is the sustenance in life. He is the bread of life that can feed the hungers of the world. Jesus is trying to speak not only to his disciples, but to us. Because when we grasp that, our negativity transforms into true transforming hope. Negativity is not compatible with the Christian faith. Doesn't mean you don't get sad at times. Doesn't mean that you hurt. Doesn't mean that we lament and mourn over the brokenness in our lives and in our society. Racial injustice, our hearts break, yes. But we have true transforming hope. And that is what we need in order to thrive in these desperate times. Just three things I want you to think about as we close our time. Are you generally a positive or negative person? I think that would be a great question to turn to your spouse, your child, your friend, and ask them in light of this challenge. Secondly, what are some things that pull you down into negativity? It's different for different people, but all of us, I believe, are greatly struggling with not becoming so negative. And thirdly and finally, how does Jesus transform our negativity into true hope? May you know of this Jesus who can take the pain, the indifference, that spirit of it's not possible, and take these things and transform it into a heavenly kingdom hope, as we know that in Him we are more than adequate. With that, will you join me in a word of prayer? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we turn on the TV, as we look on our Facebook accounts, as we think about conflict among our own family members and friends, especially in this trifecta of economic and social and physical health challenges, Lord, help us not to slip into a debilitating negativity, for we are a people that are marked by hope. May we exude that, and with that life and transforming hope, turn and love and serve and minister in the power of King Jesus in a world that is so desperately hurting. We pray that as Trinity Covenant Church and churches all over our communities, that we would cling on to the one who indeed, even despite the most difficult challenges, reminds us that we can be hopeful in the midst of this negativity. Grant us your strength and peace. You indeed are the one who fills our deepest hungers. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.